Welcome back to Los Angeles, Eric.
You can't prove that.
I'm going off of what you told me.
That's true. This is our, welcome to the True Blue LA podcast. This is my last night in Arizona. I'm going to drive back on Wednesday, leaving during the game to try to, get back at a reasonable hour. So, spring training is just about over and pretty ready for the season to hit, to be honest with you.
Spring training is always really fun to follow, but it seems to have like a 5-week, 4-week charm, and then you're just ready for games to count. There's only so many weeks you can root for a tie.
Yeah, well, that's true. It's been weird. Like, I think today was they lost 11-9, but it was like a one-run game into the ninth, I guess, or into the eighth. But there's been the other four games besides this, prior to this, were one-run games, and like all of them were so close to ties, and that's all I was rooting for the entire time. But they had a walk-off on Monday night, which was just brutal because they were just so close to a tie, so just missed out.
This is the last podcast we will record before real baseball gets in the books, starting on Sunday, and then for the Dodgers on Monday. Which means we should probably start talking about how the roster is really getting pretty close to set at 25. Some news that kind of affects that. Jamie Wright retired. Long career.
Yeah, 19 seasons. He didn't play last year. He didn't make the Rangers out of spring training. A rare case where non-roster invitee Jamie Wright does not end up with a job. But he sat out for the year and then was playing catch with Clayton Kershaw in the offseason. They both live in or near Dallas. I'm guessing it's a pretty reasonably good part of Dallas. He decided to make a comeback and sign with the Dodgers, not another non-roster invitee, and wasn't quite up to par, I guess, with, either his standards or, obviously the rest of the sort of competition in the Dodgers pen. And they told him the other day that he wasn't going to make the team. He kind of knew it anyway, but he said, yeah, I think that's about it, and decided to call it quits. He's one of the coolest people. Like, everyone kind of loves him pretty much in the clubhouse, and one of the neatest people I've covered just in my, this is my fifth year doing it sort of full-time. And he's one of the coolest people I've sort of been around, just very well liked around just by about everybody. But he had a pretty nice little send off, I guess, to the players in the clubhouse the other day. Wasn't privy to that, but some of them were sort of talking about it, how it was inspiring what he told them. He was pretty high on Dave Roberts. Think he's going to be a great manager, and he said he's just really sorry that he's not going to get to play for him. But he was pretty happy with the decision. Wants to spend more time with his family now, and good for him. He's going out. It's a remarkable career because he's so weird. Like, he was a starter for so many years, and frankly was kind of bad, for a lot of that time.
passable, right?
Yeah,
just above the line.
With hung around, he was on those some bad Rockies teams early, and then bounced around. He played on 10 different teams in his career, including like three teams multiple times, including the Dodgers. Switched to relief, a little more than midway through, and sort of found a second life. And he had some good years in relief, especially later. It was, kind of funny. Like, he found some success later in his career. He's like really a ground ball guy, he sort of made it work. It was just kind of funny. But he had a George Bailey moment almost at the end of his sort of meeting with the media, after he announced his retirement. He said, I played with 10 teams. Nobody has more teammates. Nobody has made more friends in baseball than I have. And he was almost in tears a couple times during his little meeting with us. And that was pretty inspiring. So kudos to Jamie Wright. And he gets to take his tattered Oklahoma shirt with him and hopefully put it up in a frame somewhere, because that thing was pretty awesome.
Fred McGriff may be up there on that record, most friends made in baseball. especially with his expert advice on the Emanski video.
Well, man, can you imagine? What if he gave personal instruction to everybody who bought an Emanski video?
Showed up on your day doorstep
with the hat like just off of his head, not even wearing it.
The beautiful teal colors. So, a couple of last week when we talked, we had a couple of injuries that were the are they going to be ready for opening day or are they not? Just get a couple updates from you. Yasmani Grandal, can he throw a ball to the pitcher in a crouch?
Okay, so yeah, I mean, technically, right now, yes.
Okay, yeah, technically,
yeah. So we're recording this on a Tuesday. I believe Tuesday is the second consecutive day where he did do that. For a couple days there, part of it was they're being cautious. Like, here's the problem with Grandal. So he had off-season shoulder surgery in his left shoulder, but he's complained of like both forearms being sore, and they're not sure if it's related to the surgery or not. But they're just sort of just generally concerned. Like, they're like, oh, it only hurts him when he's batting or throwing. So, you know, no big deal. He's just a catcher. But so they kind of shut him down for like better part of a week of doing anything. And that included like, they're saying, well, we still want you to catch bullpens and do other stuff. So he's been catching for like 3 or 4 days. He's like catching bullpens and then just lobbing the ball to the guy next to him who throws it back to the pitcher. It just looked weird to watch, you know? But Monday he started, you know, tossing it back to the pitcher. Then he played some catch. He took some dry swings, which essentially anytime you see your like dry throws or dry swings, it's just doing all the motions of a baseball action, but without the ball, basically. So he's sort of going through the motions right now. Going to do a little more, I guess, Wednesday. He's going to stay behind as players break camp on Wednesday. They have the freeway series from Thursday to Saturday. Dave Roberts said today that the plan for Grandal is to meet up with the team Tuesday in Anaheim. And it sounds like they want him to play. Sorry, that was a rude call in the middle of our show. But maybe that was Yasmani Grandal's ears.
Hey, I'll be ready. Don't worry.
Yeah, I can throw. So the issue is this. So we'll know more Saturday. If he's been improving and they play him in that Saturday game, the plan would be for him to be ready opening day. I would imagine since Kershaw is starting that AJ Ellis is going to catch opening day anyway. But just in terms of being on the opening day roster, Grandal would be on it. But if they are a little more cautious and don't play him in that Saturday game, he still could be ready opening day, but it leaves him a little more flexibility because since he hasn't played in a major league game in spring training for a little while, they can backdate a DL, a 15-day DL stint as far back as March 25th. So the worst case scenario would be him missing for the first 5 games. So that's, I think, what they probably should lean toward doing, you know, with Grandal, just to be safe.
Especially because, when you have Austin Barnes, you know,
yeah,
easily and, to fill in that slot.
And you're talking like those first 5 games, like Ellis is going to catch Kershaw. He's probably going to catch one of the other 4 games. So it's really like you're missing three Grandal starts just to be sure you're like, you know, almost closer to 100%. You don't have to force it. You don't have to try to play hurt. So they might err on the side of caution. We'll know more. If he improves by Saturday, maybe he gets better. Who knows? But that still might be what they do. But it sounds like they're going to try to see if he's ready for opening day. But it's more optimistic than it sounded like maybe 3 or 4 days ago.
Next on the list, Corey Seager.
How's he looking? He seems to be ready to go. He's had the knee sprain. It's been out for a little while now. It's funny, you look back, it doesn't, you know, some of these dates run together, but I looked and like he last played on March 11th, and it seems like so long ago now. But he has a left knee sprain that's been improving. He's been doing a lot of work and then now doing playing in minor league games. Today was his third straight day. They're going to give him Wednesday off, but the plan is he's going to start in the freeway series on Thursday. So he's like pretty much like 100% ready to go right now. They're going to play him a couple times over the weekend just to sort of get him ready to go, and he'll be in the opening day lineup. I'm pretty confident about that.
Speaking of opening day lineup, 25-man roster, it's the last chance we got, so I want your prediction. What is the 25-man roster submitted this Sunday for the opening day game, Monday the 4th?
Okay, so
I've got a piece of paper. I'm writing this down, and I'm going to call you out or congratulate you if you're all right.
This is a gotcha, classic Jacob gotcha journalism. Before I get into the whole list, just sort of one more in that same vein of players, Howie Kendrick. He's been dealing with calf tightness, which is different than his injury before, which was groin tightness. This calf thing has sort of lingered on a little bit. The plan for him, he's also staying behind in Arizona when the Dodgers break camp, but he's not going to join them in the freeway series. So it's looking more and more like he's going to start on the DL. So that'll get me to my first member of the 25-man roster. I think non-roster invitee Charlie Culberson takes Kendrick's spot, just with versatility to play multiple infield spots, including shortstop. So I'll go infield first. So Charlie Culberson will be one of the reserves.
And I want your opening day starting roster when you give me this too.
Okay, let's go to the starting lineup. So right now, Charlie Culberson will be watching these players start from the bench on opening day. We'll have AJ Ellis at catcher. We'll have, let's say for now, I think they'll be cautious with Grandal. So let's say Austin Barnes is your backup catcher. So sorry if I'm going out of order.
No, I'm keeping track. You're at three players so far.
Okay, so let's say Adrian Gonzalez at first, going out on a limb there, I know. Justin Turner at third base. We got Chase Utley at second. Corey Seager at short. Carl Crawford in left. They're going to face Tyson Ross, so it's a right-hander. So I think Crawford gets that start, and I think he'll be batting leadoff, at least to start. And then Jock Peterson in center. And Yasiel Puig in right.
All right, you've already got two bench players, so you want to finish that off.
Yeah, so we're at 10.
At 10.
So Scott Van Slyke is for sure there. Kiki Hernandez is for sure. And then basically we're down to like Andre Ethier's spot now. Alex Guerrero has been dealing with a sore knee. And no matter how the sort of question comes around Guerrero, it seems like the answer from Dave Roberts usually has to do with it's very limited. Like, they either only see him as a third baseman or he mentions how Guerrero doesn't feel his knee is 100% ready to play. It's putting the onus on him, and that's a little bit of a departure of how he's sort of bending over backwards to trying to find innings for Trace Thompson. Playing him all over the outfield to get him more used to left field in case he needs to play left field. So I think Guerrero, at best case scenario for him, is starts on the DL. He could get released as well. But if he's healthy, I don't think they'll release him if he's not healthy. They'll just delay the decision and put him on the DL for now. So I think Trace Thompson gets the other bench spot. So we're at 13 position players. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay. Let's go with the starting pitcher on opening day. Let's Clayton Kershaw. His sixth straight opening day start. Then the rotation behind him is Scott Kazmir, Kenta Maeda, and Alex Wood. The question now is who's going to be the fifth starter? I think Carlos Frias has the upper hand here. And the question is, are they going to go spot start guys and maneuver the roster, or they get extra guys in between? I think they will, but I still, I kind of think they'll stick with Stripling and Zach Lee are the other two sort of candidates, but I think Frias gets the call. He's going Wednesday after Kershaw. Kershaw's going to do a tune-up start where he's only throwing probably three innings tomorrow. Frias is going to follow him, probably get stretched out. He might finish and throw the entire final six innings himself. So let's go Frias for April 8th. So he's the first fifth starter. So I believe that puts us at 18. So just seven more for the bullpen.
Yep.
So Kenley Jansen, closer. Chris Hatcher, your setup man. Then you have the guaranteed contracts, J.P. Howell, Joe Blanton. So I think we need three more. Lewis Coleman is out of options, has a major league deal, and has pitched pretty lights out. He gave up a run today, the first time he's given up a run all spring. They don't only go on spring stats. He's had, has a very deceptive delivery, has been missing bats. He's looked great. It's not just going off stats here. It's actual, you know, how they feel about him pitching as well. Yeah, because if they're going off stats, like they optioned Adam Libertor last night, and he has like 11 strikeouts and no walks this spring. It's generally looked fine. So there, it's that's not always just going off spring stats. That's it's not what they do. They have a whole team of evaluators sort of looking at stuff. But so Lewis Coleman is the fifth reliever.
Got two more.
Yeah, so Pedro Baez, I think, gets the call as one of the spots. And then Luis Avalon has struggled mightily, so much so that Dave Roberts has gone out of his way to mention it. It's really been hard to avoid. He's also been asked about it. So he's given up 10 runs in his last four outings, including like three home runs and a couple of doubles. Just generally been bad. So the question is, do they carry – well, it wasn't – it's not – if it looks like they're just going to carry – if they carry two lefties, pretty much has to be Avalon because they just optioned Liberatore. And knowing that Avalon was also not pitching well, so I think either they go with one lefty, which means Avalon gets optioned, and that means Yimi Garcia stays, or they're going to acquire some sort of other left-handed pitcher in the bullpen between now and opening day, or so let's say for the first week or so of the season. But for now, let's say I'll say Yimi Garcia stays, and he's the seventh guy in the bullpen. So they go one lefty in the bullpen to start.
All right, I've got it written down. I will tell you how wrong you were in 1 week.
It's gonna be probably wrong because I bet you they're gonna end up, acquiring a lefty by then. But we'll see.
Well, we got the freeway series ahead, which leads to one of my more exciting moments at Dodger Stadium. I saw Clayton Kershaw's first start, first appearance at Dodger Stadium, which was a spring training. Against I guess it wasn't a freeway series. It was against the Red Sox, but still a spring training, not in Arizona game. Always fun. Usually on TV, kind of the practice session for the coverage crew. So I'm excited to see. I'm pretty sure I'm getting all of those games via MLB TV. So I'll be watching all of them.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Are you going to be there for all of them?
For all the freeway series games, yes. This year, in previous years, some days I've usually been driving back the day of the first freeway series game, and I've still gone to a couple of them, but it makes for a really long day. But this year, though, I think what I'm going to do, or I mean, I know what I'm going to do. I'm actually driving back Wednesday, which gives me a chance to sort of sleep in my own bed Wednesday night, and then be sort of refreshed and ready. So I'm pretty sure I'll be at all three Freeway Series games.
You ready for some trivia?
Yeah, let's go.
I'm excited for your Dodgers question. We're gonna you and I are people of the internet. We met on the internet. We record this thing over the internet. So this is gonna be Dodgers and the internet. I have a list of eight players, and I've broken up into two groups of four. I want you to, for each group, tell me from most to least the number of Twitter followers that they have.
Okay.
And then if you want, you can take a guess at how many it is. And I have a follow-up question, and I guess we'll do both of these, and then I'll ask the follow-up question. So your first group, Clayton Kershaw, Adrian Gonzalez, Yasiel Puig, Brandon McCarthy.
Oh, man.
Most to least.
Okay, so I will say Clayton. Clayton has the most, followed by Puig, then McCarthy, then Gonzalez.
with 306,396 as of half an hour ago. Clayton Kershaw is first. You got that one right. With 237,626, Adrian Gonzalez.
Oh, wow. Nice. Okay.
With only 10,000 behind, or 15,000 behind, 221,683, Yasiel Puig. And then with a paltry 181,543, Brendan McCarthy.
Oh, man. He's like he's the UHF station of, of Twitter.
So one day you'll pass all these guys, Eric.
That's so stretch. That said, like I'm in like the low 20s right now, but I just remember like probably my first or second year doing like full time spring training. I remember there was like a push to get me to like 2,000 or something. And I thought that was a pretty big deal. So you never know. It happened. It can happen pretty quick.
And half of those are, you know, porn bots, well, anyways.
So. Yeah, and I've purchased at least like a quarter of it, so.
All right, so the follow-up questions, and we'll do the second group after this, but the follow-up question is, if you go to Google, which I'm sure you do now and then.
Yeah.
Have you heard of the Google?
I have, yeah. When I'm not using Bing, I use Google.
So what I did is to try and make sure my account wasn't swaying anything, I popped up a Google browser, an anonymous browser, and I typed each of those four players' names, and I wrote down the first autocomplete.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I will give you a hint for all eight of these names. Two words come up very often when it comes to baseball players. So that'll be my little hint. So let's start. Clayton Kershaw, what was the top autocomplete suggestion?
Wait, you're saying two words come up.
No. So I'm saying I typed in Clayton Kershaw. What's the first suggestion? All of these are one word.
I gotcha. Okay. Clayton Kershaw... Dodgers
contract.
That's pretty good. Okay.
So, Adrian Gonzalez.
And these are all one word.
These are all one words, and like I said, there can be repeats.
Yeah. He had a big contract too. Wow. I'll go contract with him.
Yep. I'll give you one more hint. Contract does not repeat within this group again.
Okay.
Yasiel Puig.
so many chances here. let's see. Yasiel Puig.
Think of your Twitter. Like, I think people that at you on Twitter, you should give you a pretty good hint on some of these.
Oh. Oh, man. That kind of threw me off a little bit. let's say Yasiel Puig. I was gonna say Yasiel Puig like fight, but because he had the thing. But no, man. No, I'm stumped. I'm sorry. I don't know.
Trade.
Okay, that's weird.
Brendan McCarthy.
This would be fun. Okay, so I'm going to say Brendan McCarthy, wife.
You are correct.
Wow, okay. That's pretty good.
So your next group of players. Those were the, that I could easily search for, the six-digit followers. These are prominent five-digit followers. Justin Turner,
okay.
AJ Ellis, Kike Hernandez, Scott Van Slyke.
And, okay, so first... I think, man, Kike has been so active online. It seems like he's like the sort of shooting upward. But I will say, just from being around a while, let's go Justin Turner first, then Ellis, then Kike, then Van Slyke.
With 90,060, AJ Ellis. With 63,911, Justin Turner. With 34,198, Scott Van Slyke.
Wow, and so Kike is a trailer.
Just by 2,000, 32,411, Kike Hernandez.
Wow.
Guesses on their Google result?
Okay.
Justin Turner.
Justin Turner, beard.
No.
Or hair?
Nope. No. Wife again.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Courtney with a K.
Yeah.
Which comes up really, like, high. If you like Justin Turner Twitter, I think his wife's Twitter is second. AJ Ellis.
Let's see. AJ Ellis. What would come up? I mistakenly thought he had a stolen base the other day, but he just advanced on a wild pitch. felt bad.
He should get spring training and give it to him.
Yeah. I agree. Our contract doesn't come up in any of these, or does it?
There are repeats happen. That's what I'll say.
Oh, okay. So I'll say contract for him since he went through arbitration.
Wife again.
Wow, there's a lot of people who are really nosy.
Yeah, no, nosy, I was about to say internet. This definitely shows sort of the lower side of the internet, which is the majority of the internet.
Yeah.
Scott Van Slyke. This is a repeat. I'll give you a hint.
Well, if it's a wife, this is the dumbest. But no, let's go. Scott Van Slyke. Oh, wait, it's a repeat?
It is a repeat.
Well, I don't want it to be wife, so I'm going to say contract.
It is contract.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, internet.
We don't want to know about your family. I want to know about how much you make, like the rudest possible questions.
And it's a big deal in England, right? Like people obsessed with soccer player wives. And it's just, come on.
Oh, yeah.
Privacy, give privacy.
Yeah, so, exactly.
And I don't think you're going to guess this one, so please don't take too long, and because I don't think you'll get it, but Kike Hernandez.
Banana?
No. Yeah, see, that's what I was thought it'd be. It's girl, shirt. Girl. Shirt.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't know.
Did you see what the results were for that? Because I did put something up when he was wearing a funny shirt that said, there's been some funny T-shirts. I think I've talked about this before, where like the best part about being like a ball player is like you have like this, you have time on your hands, especially in spring training, and you have like for the most part you have disposable income, you know, some guys, and so like if you want to like to get a bunch of T-shirts made for the clubhouse, like that's a thing you could do, and so there's a lot of like custom made T-shirts that people wear. But earlier in the camp, Kike was wearing one. All it said was "Damn, Corey." I think though the people at Pantone 294, popular Dodgers rooting website, they made that one. But I thought that was a great T-shirt. Chris Hatcher was wearing one the other day that said "Turner for President," and it has like a little silhouette of Justin Turner's face with a beard. It's really awesome. And then I was having a joke with him because I tweeted the picture of the shirt, but I said I didn't have the heart to tell Chris Hatcher that Justin Turner is not yet 35 years old. So then but I like Chris Hatcher because I tweeted that like while I was in the clubhouse. It was in the morning, one of these mornings, and he came up to me like within like a minute. And he's like, "Hey, what do you mean?" So we hashed it out. So we compromised that Turner could play for a few more years, but then he's going to run in 2020. So
that's fine. That works for me.
Yeah.
I searched Kike Hernandez shirt, and it's, you know, shopping sites for the most part.
Okay.
So your non-Dodgers questions. I'm combining your non-sports and your baseball question. You ready?
Sure.
So I've got a list here of top grossing movies by genre, and lucky for us, they split sports genres into different sports. So I'm going to ask you, give you a sport, tell me the top grossing movie of that sport.
Oh, man, okay.
So let's start with our sport, baseball. And baseball. If you need a hint, I will give you the year.
Okay, let's see if I can get this, though. Well, just because it was so popular, man, and I'm trying to could For Love of the Game have passed it? I doubt it. I'm gonna stick with I'll go with Field of Dreams.
A League of Their Own. $107.5 million.
That's a really good movie. I like that a lot.
Next up, Basketball.
Basketball. I wish it was Amazing Grace and Chuck. That's a really good movie. It's a really weird movie. Space Jam?
Space Jam with $90.4 million. That makes me happy. I don't know why that makes me happy, but...
Wait,
90.4 million.
I would have thought it did much more than that, to be honest.
There was that... Remember, like, when once movie theaters really started pushing, like, 3D and stuff, the numbers really escalated, so...
Yeah, because you were looking at, like...
And when... Remember, do you... I'm going to go Andy Rooney here for a little bit. Remember when midnight releases were on midnight, on the Friday, not, yeah, like, the Wednesday at 2?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and you didn't have assigned seating. You had to wait in line. Like, I did that, I think, Lord of the Rings and Spider-Man. I showed up at 8. I waited my 4 hours.
I apologize.
My eyebrows are going up and down, by the way, in tribute to Mr. Rooney.
The 96, too, was like, they had, like, Independence Day was that year, and then I thought Titanic maybe also, but so those are, like, in the, you know, well, Titanic went nuts, but, like, you have some of those that are, like, 200 and 300 million. I would have thought, like, Space Jam was at least
Titanic was later, I think.
You're probably right.
Independence Day, Twister was the second movie.
Ah, Twister. Yeah.
And then Mission Impossible, Jerry Maguire, and Ransom. Man, remember Ransom?
If you would have asked me which if a sport was weather watching, then I would have totally guessed Twister is the number one.
Your next genre, boxing.
Boxing. I'm not sure how much Creed made.
I did have to. I will say this. I had to check that just in case the source I'm using was out of date.
Man. Let's say. Oh. Let's go with Rocky IV.
Bingo. 128 million. Creed's very close with 109 million.
Oh, wow.
So Creed might get there if they have some late international push.
I'm going to go see it 3 more times. That should push it over.
There you go. Get like, I don't know, really expensive, fancy seat, gold-plated.
Yeah. I don't know where you see movies, but it costs me $6 million every time.
Football. I almost just said the name of the movie, by the way.
I had when you announced that this was a category, I mean, that this was sort of your goal for the question. The first movie that came to mind was a football movie, and it was Any Given Sunday.
Yeah, not Any Given Sunday. I will say that the football, this I think is the highest grossing sports movie of all time.
If it's not Any Given Sunday, what about, is it one of the, Friday Night Lights?
Nope. You're thinking more on the right side, I think.
Oh.
I think more of a drama with football as the background.
So, Remember the Titans?
Again, you're there.
The Blind Side?
There you go. Blind Side.
Okay.
$256 million.
Holy crap.
Yeah. A lot more than I thought it made. I knew it was successful, but...
That made more than Moneyball and of Michael Lewis books. So that's pretty...
is that a genre in of itself?
Yeah, it should be, yeah.
Ten, why not? Dang it, I just did it. Did you hear me?
No.
Good. Golf. I said one of the words in this movie, but
I didn't hear it, I swear. I want to say Caddyshack so bad, but I know it's not.
I feel
not
bad
that.
For our listeners. So I'm sorry, listeners.
Because it's 1980. And I swear I didn't hear it. But since he failed me in an earlier movie guess, I gotta go with my buddy Kay Cost again, and I'll say Tin Cup.
There you go, Tin Cup, $53.9 million. Yeah, I said 10 when I meant to say golf. I'm like, wait a minute,
that's
not
right.
Funny. Hockey.
Oh man, this. Wait, does Sudden Death count with Jean-Claude Van Damme? Wait, we need to whatever we'll get the answer to this, but I'm going to check what sudden death did.
I'll check right now while you figure this out.
It's probably not Slapshot. It might be Slapshot just because how many hockey movies are there?
Sudden Death grossed worldwide $50,000 less than the top movie.
Wow. So you could say that it lost in sudden death.
Yeah. Do you have a guess?
No, I guess Slapshot.
Miracle.
Oh, of course. Oh, no, I didn't see that. You know what I saw was Mystery Alaska, which was not related at all to it, but it made me think of it.
Between Rocky IV and this, you know, going against Russia, that'll get you the tickets.
Let's see. We need, ending the Cold War, et cetera. that tends to be popular. So.
And last category, and it just has the genre on this website I'm using, is just Olympics.
Okay. Well, it's funny how we were talking about going against Russia. Before we started recording, we were literally talking about the movie Reds. This is all communism all the time on the True Blue podcast. Okay, Olympics. Was it Chariots of Fire? which beat out Reds in 1981, which we also talked about.
No, it's Blades of Glory.
Oh, come on.
Basically the same movie. With 118.6 million, on Miracle. Miracle made 64.4 million. Sudden Death made 64.35 million.
Wow! do yourself a favor though, and
you know what? I'm gonna take that back. I've been giving you domestic gross, and the Sudden Death's that was its world gross. So.
Oh. Okay.
All right. So I feel a little bit better now. It would have been awesome if it was that close.
Do yourself. I think I will include this in the show notes because it's so great. If you look, Google the sudden death fight scene with Jean-Claude Van Damme and the Penguins mascot. It's really great. I mean, there's like his. He shouldn't have Oscar upon Oscar with scenes like this. I don't know how the Academy keeps ignoring this man.
Let's see. From Tom Thane, what are your expectations for Kershaw, Kazmir, and the rotation for regular season play? Hashtag MLB, hashtag True Blue.
That's an aggressive hashtagging.
Kershaw's going to win the hashtag Cy Young.
Yeah, for a hashtag fourth time, I think. No, I do think he's going to be still be the best pitcher in baseball. I think Kenta Maeda is going to be really good. And if Corey Seager does not win Rookie of the Year, it'll be because Kenta Maeda wins Rookie of the Year. and so let's say...
I expect one more starter to get hurt somewhere in the middle of the year. And I expect it to be just okay.
Kazmir, I don't know. He has a pretty decent track record. I'll say he gets to. Let's give him 170 innings. About 158 strikeouts. That's what I'll say. 3.53 ERA.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say 3.51. So we're nice. We're in the same boat there.
We're simpatico here. So that's where I'm at for Kazmir. For Wood, probably let's say 185 innings. Maybe the K's are a little lower. So let's say 148 K's for him. 3.78 ERA. These are complete wild stabs in the dark. Maeda, I'm gonna go with 328 for his ERA. I think he's going to get to 190 innings. And I think he's going to probably strike out 173.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, why not?
Blue Man's got a couple of questions. Well, one's a statement. Let's start with the question. Best surprise player of spring, biggest disappointment?
Disappointment. Surprise, it's kind of weird. Like, for me, like, it was probably more of a little thing, but, like, Charlie Culberson, we're talking about, I have him on my...
Do the Dodgers even play in surprise?
Yes, they do. Funny you should ask. No, they, the Rangers and the Royals play there. They played there a couple times. So,
who's the best Royals player? I'm sorry. Yeah, I was making... It was touché. A bad joke. Yeah.
No, you're...
Keep answering the real question. I'm sorry. I thought of that pun like 10 seconds too late, but I it was too it. Good. It was yeah, too good not to say it.
I'm dumb. I should have seen it. I say Culberson because I've always thought of him more as a second baseman, third baseman type. Before play started, they were, you know, they heard that they really liked his defense at short, and then he was, you know, probably just given the depth of the organization, probably third on the depth chart at short. Which I was like, well, that's kind of weird. But then I just watching him, he seems like he can handle himself out there in the field. So kind of surprised by that. He's not like the, it's not like the biggest world beater type surprise, but, I guess, Justin Turner, I mean, he just like keeps hitting, like they were super cautious with him, waiting for him to play for like a week and a half before, he got into games, and they've been giving him a lot of rest, coming off knee surgery, but just like every time he comes up, he's locked in. He's like, he's played 9 games literally. And they, like the team has played 29, I believe. And he's leading the team in extra base hits and doubles. And he's like barely played. He went 1-for-3 today with a home run. And his batting average went down to like 565. He was hitting 600 coming into today. So he's just ridiculously locked in right now. So I guess that's sort of a surprise that he's, you know, I expected him to hit 465, not 565. Come on.
Yeah. I like that as a realistic expectation. Regression.
Yeah, you gotta be realistic here. Come on.
Blue Man's other comment is, does anyone else believe these injuries are a foreshadowing of what's to come this season? I guess that's a question.
Yes, a lot of people do, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know, they do have a lot of depth, but you can only test it so far. Like, they said, even Andrew Friedman was saying, like, they're, you know, we didn't expect to be this tested until, like, mid-season. But they're, like, you know, going far into the depth chart much earlier than they expected. So that's definitely going to be a concern in how they, you know, how the guys lower on the totem pole, say, perform. Like, they're basically going to rely on Carl Crawford quite a bit, I think, here. And, like, if he's not up to it, then that's going to be more playing time, I think, for Scott Van Slyke, chance for him to sort of come into his own a little bit rather than going with a strict righty-lefty platoon and left. But, yeah, there's going to be a lot of opportunities, I think, for guys, you know, maybe more so on the pitching side in the back end of the rotation. They're going to be tested. We'll see what they have.
That said, don't spend too much energy getting worried before a single game has been played.
Yeah, and there's a lot of reasons. Like, there's still like a lot of there's still a chance for this offense to be really good. So part of me like thinks that there's a chance that they like might just outscore a lot of their problems. So, you know, like that could happen. We'll see. I mean, not something you necessarily rely on, but you know, something could happen.
Thank you, Blue Man. Roscoe P. Coltrane asks, again, a couple of questions. Your thoughts on a tandem starting pitcher spot, i.e. the fifth spot belonging to Frias and Lee, each splitting 3 innings. I think that's just, I think a roster spot is too much of a, too high of a commodity to give to two pitchers like that, especially when you kind of want Lee pitching more than three innings wherever he's pitching, whether it's up in the majors or in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, there's no way they would do that, at least on a consistent basis. What they might do is use those two guys at different times. Like, we're talking like first time through, they might go Frias and then option him immediately. And then for the next 4 days or four games, have an extra bench player or an extra reliever in until they call up Lee for that start on the 14th, I guess, the last game of the first home series. And then they might do the same thing the next time because they have another off day. So there's some maneuvering that's going to happen, I think. But it's going to be more so with guys making spot starts, full starts, but not like three innings, that kind of a thing. They might do that. They did that a couple times last year where it just sort of worked out that way. Those were not good games. So hopefully they don't do that a ton this year. But it's not going to be with like Lee and Frias. It'll be more like even lesser guys. Like last year, like Yimi Garcia, they had start once because they wanted to go short outing first and then bring in the left-hander Eric Sercamp. And then next thing you know, you're like, oh, yeah, we just made a pretty big roster like decision based on Eric Sercamp. And then they lost that game. Or actually, they may have won that game, but I just remember it being a really, really long, boring game. But, yeah, I don't think they're going to – they might try to do something like that this year, but I think it's more along the lines of spot starts for the full amount rather than three and four innings at a time.
Next question is, with less than a week away from away, which players do you expect to be cut or traded? Well, we kind of went over this, but you want to talk about potential trade targets, either for the Dodgers to acquire or to be traded away?
Yeah, so I guess, the main one that always comes up is Alex Guerrero. He's got 2 years and $10 million left on his contract. He has a weird contract. He cannot be sent to the minors without his consent, which is sort of the impetus for the trade. I mean, they would just send him to the minors if they could. But also, if he gets traded, he can be a free agent at the end of the season. So you're essentially a team trading for him. You're getting a guy for 1 year and $5 million who can be a free agent at the end of the year. So Dodgers wouldn't necessarily be getting much for him. It's more like dumping the salary if they can. And then it's a matter of, because he's not really good on defense and there's no real spot for him. And it's a matter of, does a team really want that, given how poorly he was hitting in the last 3 or 4 months of the season? Or do they see the power that he showed in the first 2 months of last season and hope they can sort of rekindle that? Maybe an AL team who can use him as a part-time DH or something. But I think if they would have had that opportunity, probably would have come up by now. But Dodgers might have to eat a lot of salary to move him, but we'll see. Then I guess in terms of acquiring players, we talked about them, only my guess is only having one lefty in the opening day rotation. Joe Thatcher is a guy who's out there right now as a free agent. He just got released. Matt Thornton got released. He had an opt-out with the Diamondbacks. So if they're looking for outside help for left-handed pitching, then it's sort of out there, I think. So we'll see in the next couple of days if they add someone. And if they, because it seems logical that they would want to go to a second lefty. It's just weird how they've sort of already decided that it's not going to be Adam Liberatore and Luis Avalon sort of pitching his way out of that. So I don't know how they're going to do that second lefty unless they go with an outside pitcher. So I think that's something to watch for in the next couple of days.
Thank you, Roscoe. Robert emailed us. He says, hey, guys, before we get into the questions, I want to reiterate that there's a pizza eating challenge in Burbank where winners take home $1,000 in cash if your team of up to 7 people can eat a 54-inch by 54-inch 50-pound pizza in 2 hours.
Yeah. Why do we need 7?
I did the math. That's a little under 7 pounds a person.
Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah, it's okay. Let's work on it. I think we may need at least one other guy.
All right.
So, talk to players on the team. Baseball players are hungry. They also pay $200 if two people can eat a 36-inch pizza in under 1 hour. There we go. Let's talk about it. I wonder how much that costs, though.
Does it take it out of, like, you have to pay for the pizza and then you get the money? Like, so are you breaking even here or what? So we need someone to sponsor us at this.
Listeners, if you want to sponsor a pizza eating challenge to watch us eat like a quarter of it and then die,
yeah, please, and then completely quit and give up and
just run away and hide.
Look gross while doing so.
All right, he has some questions. Justin Turner's spring training batting average dipped below 600 today. Where does he rank on your all-time list of red-headed baseball players? He has a list for us, which is, a word for it is exhaustive. what names come to you before? I'll read his list.
Do I say something, or you're going to read his list first?
You go. Who comes to mind? I'll give you
the red. Okay, so red-headed baseball players. The first one that comes to mind is, or the one that comes to mind is Rusty Staub, because his nickname was in Montreal was Le Grand Orange. It's got to be him. You have to have a list of redheads with him. That's kind of it. I'm trying to think of like a redhead that really stands out, you know?
All right. You want his list?
Sure.
This is a list. He has Justin Turner behind Red Shane Dienst, Mark McGuire, Rusty Staub, Roy Holiday, and Boog Powell. But the best hair probably goes to Bobby Keelty.
Keelty had awesome hair. Yeah.
Does Craig Kimball have red hair? Also ran Rex Hudler, Wayne Garrett, Dave Stapleton, Roy Howell, Jerry Van Gleeten, Dan Glayton, Rusty Greer, Matt Merton, Ryan Dempster, Tommy Hansen, Chad Tracy, Seth McLaughlin, Seth Zach Miner, Barry Enright, Chris Shelton, Cole Calhoun.
I don't think Roy Halladay had red hair.
There are quite a few people who have that, like, strawberry blonde where,
like, I am basically
depending on who you ask and depending on what they think.
Yeah, and like McGuire, like he sort of at times had red hair. It come out more like probably when he grew the beard. Like that kind of happens with me sometimes. Like when I was growing a beard, it comes out more in the facial hair. Like I'm basically a redhead. Like I grew up. I have freckles like all over my arms and stuff and my face, and but like just more light brown than red. So I have ginger qualities, but not quite redhead. So I don't know. That he basically just listed every redhead player. I think I think that was his.
That was his goal. Thing. I think so. Yeah.
But in terms of Bobby Keelty, had awesome like hair. Like it was like. Basically, like the Heath Ledger's Joker of hair. That's how good it was.
All right, his second question. Following up on last week's discussion on career hit by pitch leaders, Andre Ether is currently sitting at third place in Dodgers history with 58. That's hit by pitch while playing for the Dodgers, not hit by pitch across all teams. Who does he trail? A little trivia question for you, Eric. And who ranks second among current Dodgers?
Okay, so, in Dodger history.
He's third.
No, LA Dodger history. Okay, yeah. So Willie, you gotta say Willie Davis.
I think it's all Dodger history.
Okay, I would say Willie Davis just because he played so many games. Man, 58. That's
a lot. The top player is at 73. The second player is at 72.
I'll go with the same logic and say Bill Russell.
Zach Wheat at 73.
Of course.
And Jackie Robinson at 72.
Ah, nice. Which
makes sad sense.
Right.
People are the worst.
Yeah.
Who is second among current Dodgers?
Among current Dodgers? There's not that many who's been around that long. I would actually... Turner's like up there because he could sit a lot. No, I'll say AJ Ellis.
Yasiel Puig again, sort of makes sense.
Huh, okay.
And then he notes that he's trailing. Puig has 25, and then trails Russell Martin at 31 and Beltre at 27.
Ah, okay, nice.
And this is a question for you. Best spring training barbecue spot, Little Miss Barbecue in Phoenix or Rebel Barbecue in Blythe?
I will be hitting up Rebel Barbecue tomorrow at some point on the drive home. But I did not go to Little Miss Barbecue this time in Phoenix. I've been there before. I did go to Rudy's Barbecue in Goodyear a couple times, including this week on Monday. Really enjoyed their sauce. The green chili stew is amazing. That's why I went back a second time. But I do like a good barbecue. Rebel, like, that's a pretty go-to stop, if only just because there's not a lot in that area. That's about the time you kind of get hungry on the ride home. So it's a good, and it's just all, it's only like fast food or your really only other options. So that's a nice little change of pace. You can grab a sandwich or something and take it with you if you just want to stay on the road, or if you want to stop for a little bit and eat. It's a good little place.
We'll end the episode, and thank you again, Robert. We'll end the episode as we often do with questions from Craig. Again, I want music for this segment. I gotta let my brother know.
And also to note, we're recording this. Craig was here the last 5 days. He's leaving. He might be in the air. He might be like Phil Collins in the air tonight as we're recording this.
Whoa.
Sorry, I was just doing the drum thing.
Yeah, got to work on your drum skills. Am I the only one? And during that song, I've always heard it saying, "Are you Phil Collins in the air tonight?"
Wait, what?
Are you Phil Collins?
No.
But you know what? At trivia, that's how I remember who does that without fail.
Okay, like I want to unload on you right now, but this is. I will admit this, and I will tell you that I empathize with you, because I thought forever that Michael Jackson said the Chid is not my son, and I would rewind it to make sure, because it sounded like he said the Chid is not my son in Billie Jean, and I was always wondering, why did he say that, because it makes no sense. But that's pretty good. Okay,
you ready for Craig's questions?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, but he was here for the last 5 days, helping out, getting some interviews, saw some minor league games, and he's come back today. So it was good seeing him. And he did not inform me what these questions were going to be ahead of time. So I am going blind into this.
Guessing time again. Which Dodger player will have the most hit by pitch, and which pitcher hits the most batters this year? Thanks to our friend Robert, I'm going to say Yasiel Puig leads. hit by pitch seems attracting it.
I'm gonna go with Turner, but I agree with you. It'll be those two up at the top, and then for pitcher, I'm gonna go. I'll say Kenta Maeda.
Interesting.
Yeah, with 47. No, I was.
I have to pick a different name than you, just because I have
law.
To.
Yeah. By podcast law.
Man, Clayton doesn't hit that many. So I guess I have to say Kazmir, right? Just kind of benefit of the doubt. Yeah,
that's pretty good.
Kazmir, there it is. Second question: Bugs Bunny or Daffy Duck cartoons?
I mean, look, this was solved when the two argue. I mean, first of all, I don't want to short sight. I don't want to give short shrift to Daffy Duck, who is one of the most wonderful and iconic like cartoon characters of all time. But he's not Bugs Bunny. I mean, Bugs Bunny's like the gold standard of everything. And so you can't really go wrong with the Bugs. I mean, come on.
Daffy was always my favorite of the Warner Brothers characters, other than maybe Foghorn Leghorn, because how could not be?
Of course, yeah.
But during my honeymoon, which I spent in Victoria in Seattle, I went to the EMP Museum in Seattle, and they had an exhibit on Chuck Jones.
Yes.
And they just had a bunch of drawings, and then they were playing some of the big cartoons, and I had forgotten how genuinely amazingly funny they all were, and just super well crafted. So and my favorite is What's Opera Doc, which is a Bugs Bunny one, so I will go with Bugs Bunny. Yeah, if I had to watch the cartoons. Yeah,
he's so great. And then like all just the When they're arguing the rabbit season, duck season, rabbit season, and then he gets in. This is classic. And then I do appreciate that when Daffy Duck got shot an awful lot, somehow survived, yet his bill would end up the opposite way.
Last note on this, it made the rounds on the internet a year and a half ago, but the Chuck Jones had a like list of rules for Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner.
Oh, yes, okay.
And if listeners have not seen this, just Google Chuck Jones, Wile E. Coyote rules, and it's awesome. It really makes you appreciate the craft that went into it. Third question, not about Bugs Bunny. Who will be in first place in the NL West on May 1st, and by how many games? The Dodgers... by 5.
No, that's wow.
Oh, yeah. Called shot. I have to look at the schedules, but I'm just going to say the Dodgers start off against the Padres. So the Dodgers by 1 game.
My initial thought to this was Dodgers by 2 over the Giants. But I want, like you, I do want to check. I'll check the schedule. Dodgers played 25 games in April. The Giants also play 25, so they can have they could do an even number of games, assuming no rainouts. So, yeah, I'll stick with that. So you say Dodgers by 1, I say Dodgers by 2.
Sounds good. Last question of the episode: Trace Thompson or Charlie Culbertson hits their first home run as a Dodger in April? Yes or no? If we combine them both, I will take and give me the over under of a half. I will take the over.
Yeah, I think Trace does, Culberson does not.
All right. I'll say both. They both get one.
Wow, nice. On opening day, are you saying?
No, just okay. in April. And those are the, Craig says, thanks again. Here's to a nice and calm freeway series. Agreed.
I want there to be fireworks.
it's expedition game, man.
No, I mean, at least on Friday, there'll be fireworks. Friday, fireworks.
You're going to do your drum thing again?
Nope.
All right. Not worth it?
Only because I don't know I would do, the chorus is to Katy Perry's Firework, but I honestly couldn't pull it right now, so I don't know it.
I could, but I've already sort of sang once on this episode, and that's probably all we need to do.
I the one song that came to my mind was Wrecking Ball, so that shows you all you need to know.
You ready to wrap up?
I am. Let's do it. Okay. we're a professional organization.
We just can't quit. We don't know how to quit.
Thanks again for sending in all these questions, and thanks for putting up with us and listening to us. During spring training, as I slowly go mad, and
baseball.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Next time you hear us, it'll be real baseball. Thanks for listening, and we will see you during the regular season.